Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining this morning's Shiur and Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer. We're in Siman Beis. We're up to Seif Gimel or Dalet. We're up to Seif Gimel. Today's Shiur is going to be different than a lot of the other Shiurim. And part of the reason for that is because it's going to be less practical. Not because it's less practical because the halacha doesn't apply as often, but rather less practical because the situation doesn't arise as often as some of the other issues that we've been discussing. The situations that we're going to talk about today is what happens if you have a family that was accused or has a rumor going about this family that they have mamzerim in the family. There's a rumor about this family that they have chalalim who are not roy to marry kohanim in this family. And there are such rumors regarding this family. So if there is a rumor about such a family, are you allowed to marry that family? Do you take the rumors seriously? How do you check the family to ensure that there are no...
Why is that not common, Rebbe? All the people came from Russia, for example, in Israel. That's a very common problem all the time.
Right. That's a good point. But you're talking about a stam situation when a stam family... Perhaps we should just assume that they're mamzerim. But we learned last week that stam mishpachos are bechestas ksheros. Today we're going to talk about the specific situation that there's a directed accusation that this family has mamzerim in it. So if it was indeed, let's say a family came from Russia and somebody says, wait a second, I remember that in Russia, your grandmother was a who knows what, and your grandfather did who knows what. That's what we're talking about in today's shiur. Now, although I'm sure there are plenty of people who, you know, there might be mamzerim among us, and there might be chalolimim who are not kosher for kohanim among us. But I have gotten a shaila of somebody calling up about a family and saying, do you know if the background of the family? Do you know if the families were religious or a generation or two ago, were they religious? Are they mamzerim? Are they definitely Jewish? That I've got. I've never gotten a shaila of somebody saying, I heard that this family was accused of having mamzerim. What should I do about it? Should I check? Should I go forward with the shidduch? That I've never got that shaila, and I don't plan on getting it anytime soon. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. At least the first half. If we have time for the second half, we're going to have some beautiful machshavadika piece in the Shulchan Aruch. But I don't know if we'll get up to that. If we do, we'll have a separate introduction to that. So let us begin. Good morning, everybody who just joined us. Let us begin with the Shulchan Aruch. And again, today what we're going to do is really a little bit different than usual. All we're going to do today is learn Gemara with Rashi, and then learn the Shulchan Aruch with a few of the Nosei Kelim. We're not going to go into the other, you know, the different Rishonim about it, because it's a sugya that is a little bit complicated among the Rishonim, and we're going to let the Mefarshi HaShulchan Aruch clarify it for us. So the structure will be a little bit different than usual today. Okay, Boker Tov. Let me just adjust my screen here. Sorry. One second. There we go. One second, just adjusting the screen. Okay, so we have a Gemara in Kedushin in the, I think, the last parak of Kiddushin, Asar Yuchsin, and there is a Mishnah that's a famous Mishnah. It's famous maybe because it's a little bit difficult. That's maybe why it's famous. I don't know if it's really famous. I just remember when I learned it with my son when he was learning Kiddushin last year, I found it difficult. So when I got up to it teaching this chabur that we're in, I was got a little nervous. Well, we're going to do it, and it's going to be clear. Let's see. Mishnah in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph says, Hanose Isha Kohenes. You have to check four mothers. That means we're not going to check the men in the family to see if they are problematic. Why won't we check the men? We'll see later. But we're going to check the women in the family. Again, you're coming to make a shidduch with another family. The way the Mishnah presents it is you're trying to marry an Isha Kohenes. Maybe that means that you're a Kohen and you want to get married to a woman, and usually the Kohanim would marry Kohanim ladies. Maybe that's what it means, because there's no real halacha of marrying a Kohenes girl. I married a Kohenes, and there's no real halachas to that, typically. So, okay, you want to get married to a woman, and there's some issue which we'll see shortly. You have to check in her family, this family that you're making a shidduch with, four mothers, meaning grandmothers, great-great-great-grandmothers, and four of the different mothers in the family that you want to make a shidduch with, says Rashi. We'll see what the four mothers are. It's going to be like a grandmother on this side and a great-grandmother on that side and this great-grandmother. We'll see what they are in just a moment. Says Rashi to introduce. Bodkin bidoro seha arba imahos. Shtai mitzad ha'av and shtai mitzad ha'im. You want to make a shidduch with a certain girl. Let's call her Lucy. Okay? So you're going to check two of Lucy's mothers or grandmothers on her mother's side. And you're going to check two of Lucy's mothers or grandmothers on her father's side. I mean, it's obviously going to be her father's mother or father's grandmother. Okay, each one of those situations, each of these four women who you're going to check to make sure that they are indeed not messing up the Lucy, right? If I want to marry Lucy, but her mother or grandmother was a mamzer, or her mother or grandmother was problematic as far as me marrying, so that means Lucy, who's the child of those problematic women, will be problematic, and I can't marry Lucy. So when I check these four mothers, who we will outline in just a moment, we're always going to check the mother of Lucy, or her grandmother, whoever we're going to specify shortly, and the mother of that woman. So it will be a total of, I'll have to check eight women, eight predecessors, eight forebearers, eight ancestors of Lucy, before I can be confident and go ahead and marry Lucy. Kol achas mehen, each one of these four women who I'm going to check, it's going to be Ima, the mother of this girl, Lucy, ve'em Ima, and the grandmother, the mother of that mother. Both, I'm going to have to check all these women. What's the goal of me checking these various women? Rashi sits down for us. Not everyone's going to agree to this, what the check is for, but what are we looking for when I look into the family? Shelo yihoyu mamzeros. I want to make sure that these ancestors of this girl I'm going out with, Lucy, that her ancestors are not mamzeros, because if her ancestors are mamzeros, then my fiance, my girlfriend, my whatever you want to call her, my mishudeches, is also a mamzeres. Oh, achas min hapsulas lekal. I don't want her to be some other type of woman who would be pasul lekal, and therefore make my fiance Lucy also usher for me to marry. Okay, so again, we're going to see why we're only checking the mothers. Because after all, if a grandfather is a mamzer, if Lucy's grandfather is a mamzer, so Lucy will also be a mamzeress. And that's equally problematic for me. But we're not going to be worried about the men in the family. We're only going to be doing bedikos to confirm the kashrus of the mothers in Lucy's family. So who are the mothers that we're going to... What's that?
So you're going to check the great-grandmother. How do you go about checking? What do you do?
Okay, from a practical way, I don't know. But I would assume the way you would check is you would call the rabbi of the shul that the mother... let's say, again, I'm going out with Lucy. Lucy's 20 years old, 22 years old, 25 years old. I'm going to call the rabbi, her mother's rabbi, and I'm going to ask before I, go on my second date or my 20th date, whatever it is, before I'm about to get engaged, I'm going to ask to see the mother's ksuva, the grandmother's ksuva. And if I look at the ksuvas and I call the rabbis and I'll call some bate din, if I know they're from Cleveland, they've been in Cleveland since 1902, the great-great-great-grandfather came from Russia, moved to Cleveland in the early 1900s, I'm going to call the Cleveland based it. Do you have any records about Lucy's family? I don't have good answers for you. I don't have good answers. But remember, we're talking here specifically, as we will see in the Shulchan Aruch, we're only talking about a case, we're not talking about just doing regular bedikas about a regular girl you find out with. We're talking about a case where there's been accusations, again, I'm going out with Lucy, but there were accusations that Lucy's family have mamzerim in it. And only then am I going to be required to do these investigations. If there haven't been any... accusations. We're going to see one opinion says that this is only if there was an actual edus. There were two edim walked into Beis Din. We know that Uri Orlean's going out with this girl, Lucy, and we want you to Beis Din to know that Uri Orlean's girlfriend, fiance, Meshudeches, Lucy, we have two edim. We're hereby testifying in Beis Din that they have mamzerim in Lucy's family. Oh, okay. So the Beis Din will say, really? So then we better check into the family. That's the case we're speaking of. This is not a regular case where you have a girl and, you know, a daughter or a son and should do chumage and you're going to look into the family, all of a sudden you're going to try doing these bedikas. That's not what we're talking about. This is specifically when there are accusations or maybe even more than an accusation, maybe even edus that this family has yichus problems. Okay, so now let's see, who am I going to check into to make sure that they are not, that they are indeed ksherim? Says the Mishnah. I'm going to check the following four women. Again, Lucy is the one I'm going out with. I'm going to check Ima. I'm going to check Lucy's mom, Ve'em Ima, and Lucy's mother's mother. That's Lucy's grandma. Great. That's one woman who I'm checking, which is a mother and her mother, which is going to be two. So that counts as two out of the eight. Next, I'm going to check Aim of Ve'ima. So now I'm going to check still on the Lucy's mother's side. I'm going to check Lucy's mother's, not her father, because we're not checking any men. We don't check any men in this checking, as we're going to see later. The Gemara is going to tell us why we don't check the men in the family. We only check the women in the family. There's a very specific reason why. I'm going to check, says the Mishnah, Lucy's grandfather's mother. That's Lucy's great-grandmother, V'ima, and her great-great-grandmother. Wow. So I have her, Lucy's mom and grandma. Then I have Lucy's grandfather's mother and grandmother. So that means Lucy's great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother. Okay, that's now 2 plus 2. That's 4 out of the 8. Who else am I going to check? Now I'm going to go to the father's side. Lucy's dad, Ve'em Aviha, Lucy's father's mother, Ve'ima. So that's Lucy's grandma from her dad's side. Lucy's grandma and great grandma, and finally the last two women who I'll check is again this one is also on the father Lucy's father's side. Ve'em avi aviha. So again, it's Lucy's father's father has a mother. That's Lucy's great grandmother on the father's side. Ve'ima and her mother, Lucy's great great grandmother. So you don't have to remember exactly which great and which grand and which great great, and that you don't have to worry about. All you have to worry about is that we have on the mother's side two women. It's a mother and a grandmother, and a mother and her mother, and the father's side two women, a mother and her mother. Altogether, it's eight ancestors total that you have to inquire about those eight women, if they were mamzerim, if they were psulim lekahal. That's how you're going to get rid of this error, get rid of this accusation that Lucy's family is a messed up family. Fine. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says the following. Let's say I want to marry not a Kohenes, but I want to marry a Leviah or a Yisraelis. I want to marry a regular girl. We're going to see what this means a little bit later. Then I have to be, you see, the Kohanim are better, they take more care of their yichus in their families. Leviim and Yisraelim, who don't really care about their yichus as much, are a little more lenient and therefore not as careful with their family lineage. And therefore, you're going to have to check an additional Mosif and Alein Odachas. You have to check an additional layer of families. Let's say you have to check eight until now. Now you're going to have four grandmothers, and each one, the mother of each of those grandmothers, that was eight until now. For Olivia and Yisraelis, really, you have to check a previous generation, a third level of generation. That's going to be a total of 12, which we'll see that later. Of course, this is going to be true. Let's say you identified one of her ancestors as being a Kohen who worked on the Mizbeach. Once you identified any ancestor as working on the Mizbeach, that already gives you a free pass. Why? Because if any of her relatives was a Kohen that did avod in the Mizbeach, that clearly is an indication that what? The Beis Din, you know, the Beis Hamikdash did their bedikas already, and they ascertained that this person is a kosher person to do the avodah. There's actually a fellow in the neighborhood who lives not far from me, he davens in our shul. You probably know who he is, but I can't say his name, obviously. Who, if you walk into his dining room, he has a shtar yichus on his wall. And this shtar yichus goes back to Tosfos Yomtiv, goes back to the Maharal, goes back to the Rush, goes back to Rashi, which is the most incredible thing, because on his wall, his kids look at this line, this document on his wall in his dining room, and the kid, you know, you could have a 9-year-old schnooky kid looks at this wall and says, I'm a grandson, or whatever, maybe not exactly a grandson, it's not old Ben Acher Ben, but I'm a descendant of these incredible, you know, this lineage, going back literally to Rashi and to the Rush and to the Rishonim. And maybe if it goes even a little further, because again, once you hit certain people, you know that certain people were connected to other people. So like if you get yourself to the Maharal, you could all automatically get yourself to back, you know, 300 years before that, because Maharal had a certain lineage. So that's sort of what we see here. You don't have to do all the research for previous generations. If you can identify that one of the people, that one of the grandfathers or the great-grandfathers of this girl you're going out with was served on the Mizbeach, was a Kohen on the Beis HaMikdash, that already is like a stempel of Hechsher that we know that side of the family is fine. Okay. Good. Now, let's go to the next point.
From 500
years ago until today, something could have happened. You're right, but I'm sorry, just gonna mute you. You're right. 500 years, something could have happened in 500 years. But I think what this means, remember, this is a Mishnah. The Mishnah was written in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So if we lived in the time, you're right. For me to identify that, you know, 1,700 years ago in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, of Samthaya, 1,950 years ago on Tal Beis HaMikdash, my girlfriend's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was on the Beis HaMikdash. That doesn't help. You're right. We're talking about that if right now we had a Beis HaMikdash, or in last generation we had the Beis HaMikdash, let's say it was the year 100 of the Common Era, and I'm going out with a girl shortly after Churban HaBayis, and she tells me, oh, my Zaydi Yanki Kohn, you know, did the, you know, had, the, you know, I think you should marry me because I'm rich. Because my Zaydi Yanki Kohn, you know, did the Ktoris, you know, a few years, you know, before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he did the Ktoris, so therefore my family is rich, so you should marry me, I'm rich. My family did the Ktoris, right? You know, the Ktoris is a segula for wealth. So marry me because our family did the Ktoris a few years ago when we had the Beis HaMikdash. And he said, oh, your grandfather did the Ktoris, so you could already not have to do your bedikas on that side of the family because you have a guarantee. You know that grandfather, that part of the, you know, that one of the various people whom you have to check was certified by the Beis HaMikdash's Interpol, by the Beis HaMikdash's, you know, Scotland Yard or FBI. They have the certification that they are that their yichus was good. You're right, this point about the Beis HaMikdash doesn't apply Bizman Hazed, only applied Bizman Beis HaMikdash. Okay, does that answer your question, Mr. Samuels? I think it does. Okay, now let's go to a different point. The Gemara has to address a different point, and that is, our Mishnah said that we only want to investigate the mothers and the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers of this girl Lucy, this poor girl Lucy, that I'm going out with. Why don't we check any of her? Why don't we care about the men in her family? If we're worried about a mamzerim, so her great-grandmother could be a mamzeres, which is going to be bad news for Lucy. But her great-grandfather could also be a mamzer. Her grandfather could be a mamzer, which is equally bad for Lucy. So why are we only checking the yichus of the mothers, the grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers? That's the question that the Gemara asks over here. Gemara. Maishna binashi badkina, no maishna begavri de lo badku. How come we only check the women, but we don't check the men in the family? And the Gemara is going to give a fascinating answer. The Gemara is going to say, men fight and women fight. Yeah, when you don't like somebody and you call them names, you know what happens. Men do it in one way, women do it in another way. But what's interesting is that you'll notice that men fight differently than women fight. When men curse their friends out, when men make fun of their friends, not their friends, the people they really don't like, they do so in a very different way than women. And let's see how. Says the Gemara that there's a qualitative difference between, you know, the fighting that happens among women. Says the Gemara, Nashi, d'chimintzu b'hadi hadadi, when women fight with one another, when you have, you know, previous generations, the mothers, grandmothers, whoever it is, people, women fighting with one another, ba'arayasu d'minsu, they make fun of another, or they poke fun, or they accuse one another as being involved in znus. Vim'isa d'ikamil, so, but if there was a problem with mamzerus, they will make fun of one another regarding mamzerus. And therefore, lo isle kala, there won't be any coal going out about the mamzerus aspect of their whoever they're fighting with. Look at Rashi. Why are we checking only the women? Because when women fight, ba'arayusu deminsu, ein zu megana ezu bipsul yichus ela biznus. If I'm a lady and I want to make fun of some other lady, I don't like another lady, I'm going to talk about her, I'm going to say lashon hara about her, what am I going to say? I'm going to say, ah, she's a zayna, and she does all kinds of things, and she's a prude, and she's crass, and she does inappropriate things with inappropriate people, but I don't accuse her of mamzerus. I don't talk about her yichus. That's just the way women fight with one another. And therefore, if there was ever a problem of mamzerus, it would not have come out in the fighting over the generations. And therefore, when women over generations have fought, there would never have been a mention of the fact that one is a mamzer or not a mamzer. And therefore, we have to indeed do a bedika to clarify, is there a mamzerim in the family or not? However, men, on the other hand, when we scream at one another, when we make fun of one another, when we get it at one another, gavri, d'chi minsu b'hadi hadadi, b'yuchsin hu d'minsu. We call one another, ah, you're a mamzer, you're a mamzer, im isa d'ikamil, so if there was taka mamzer in the family, it's like kala, there would be a kol that would go out. I mean, we assume that families fight, we assume that people fight. And the fighting, although fighting is terrible, there is one good thing that comes out of fighting. If there is dirty stuff in the family, it could at least become known so that people will know to avoid that which should be avoided. As so that's what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara is telling us the following. You know why you never have to check the men in the family? Because over the generations, whenever all the fights that would have happened between among families and in the community, if there was a problem with the man's yichus, the men would be fighting with one another and would be accusing somebody else. You're a mamzer, you're a mitzri, you're an edomi, you're not kosher for the kahal. And then everyone would know, Taka, this man and this man's family is off limits. And therefore, you don't have to check the men in the family, because men would probably have been already accused of not being ksherim. And we'd know it already. You don't have to do a bedika because everybody would know it about it, because there would have been a kol, because men fight, and when men fight, they get down and dirty, and they accuse one another of being mamzerim. And if the one was someone was a mamzer, the whole neighborhood would know about it. The problem is women, when they fight not as dirty. They don't call each other mamzerim. They call each other, you're a zona. You're a priest's dick. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with marrying the daughter of a zona, or granddaughter of a zona, or great-granddaughter of a zona, or a granddaughter of a pretzistik woman, or a great-granddaughter of a pretzistik woman, all worried about mamzerim. You know, so therefore, when women are fighting with one another, it will come out, oh, the grandmother, the great-grandmother's a zona. Okay, fine. That doesn't make the Lucy halakhically problematic for me to marry. And therefore, because of this fundamental difference between men and women, because of this fundamental difference between how men and women fight with one another, we assume that if there were any problems with the yichus of the males in the family, it would have come out through the fighting and the rumors that spread among the Jewish community. However, when it comes to women, because women don't accuse each other of psulei kahal, of things like mamzerus, the fighting would not necessarily have caused the information to leak out about the psulei kahal that women are involved with, of various women. And therefore, you and I, when I'm going out with Lucy, I'm going to have to do the bedikas and find out the research about the women in her family, because it hasn't come out through the fighting in the community. Any questions about that? It's a funny kind of svara. That's the svara of the Gemara. Okay.
Not a
but there's an interesting phrase that I see is based on this Gemara I heard once, that men accuse each other and use very bad language against one another but don't mean it, and women behave very nicely to one another but they don't mean it either.
Yeah, I hear that. There's something to that. That's based on the concept of this Gemara. Yeah, there's a difference in the quality of how they make fun of one another. Okay. So that's step number two in the Gemara. And now we need... Okay, with that in mind, the last part of the Gemara we'll see, but we see the last part of the Shulchan Aruch. Let's now begin the Shulchan Aruch. We saw a Mishnah, and we learned a Gemara, a Mishnah with some Gemara, the touch of Rashi. And now we're going to read how the Shulchan Aruch paskins straight away. Mishpacha shekara aleha irur. A family, again, you remember I told that we're not just Tom talking about, you know, oh, you have a girl in Shidduchim, you have a son in Shidduchim, you're going to have to now check this. Like, it's hard enough for you to check, you know, check out the boys and the girls, you know, Stam. Now Rabbi Orlean is telling you have to look into, you know, eight grandmothers and do research into the cities and the Bati Din and the Rabbanim and the Ksuvas of eight other grandmothers. No, no, no. I told you, don't worry about it. This is only if there's a specific family. Your son's going out, your daughter's going out with this guy, this girl, a specific family. That there was an error about that family, that they're a mamzerim in the family. What kind of error, says the Shulchan Aruch, mishpacha shekara aleha error, that there is an accusation about the family, meaning, v'hu sheya'idu shnayim. Okay, jump to the next part of the Shulchan Aruch. So two people testified in Beistin that Lucy's family, shenis ayibahem mamzer ochalal, o sheyesh bem avdus. Two people come to Beistin and said, I know that Uri Orlean's going out with his girl Lucy. Mr. Beistin, Dayan and Mumchem, we want you to know that Uri's girlfriend, Lucy, her family has mamzerim or chalalim. That's an issue for Kohanim. We'll talk about that later. Oh, maybe there were avadim in the family. Oh, that is going to create the suffix. And now, Uri Orlean is going to have to do the investigation about Lucy's family to quell, to quash the accusation that Lucy's family has mamzerim, avadim, chalalim in it. Okay. But you see that it's only in a very limited... I told you this is going to be a very limited shir, because it's limited to a case where two edim are walking into a basin and accusing the girl you're going out with, or maybe the girl you're going out with, of being... from a family of mamzerim, with there are two witnesses testifying. There are mamzerim in this family. There are avadim in the family. So that's what creates the suffix. Barring this testimony or this error, we will not have a suffix, because of what we learned last week, that kol hamishpachos becheskas ksheros heinamdos. So here we're talking about only when there is an error. What's the error? The Shulchan Aruch paskin. What's that, Beresh? No, 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 no. If there's Edim, then you lose the Chazakah. And if there's Edim, then we're in trouble.
So why does he say I was there suffering?
Oh, because it allows you, because we don't know where in the family the problem was, and it allows us the opportunity to do a bedika into all the various grandmothers and check if it's really true or not. I don't think it's an Edus about a specific individual. It's an Edus about, I heard that this, you know, the Friedenflotz family, they're known, you know, I grew up with them in South Africa, and the Friedenflotz family that you're going out with, they're known to have mamzeim and avadim. That's probably why the girl came to America to go out with the American boys, because no one would go out with her, you know, in Cape Town or Johannesburg. That's why she came over here to go out with these American boys who don't know about her. You know, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you have a boy or a girl who have issues with the family. Sometimes they do very well to go to a different community, go out with people there that don't know the family situation so well. Sometimes you have a guy who's having shidduchim in America not because of his own problems, because of the family and the complicated, you know, family name. So you go to Eretz Yisrael and go out there. The people people don't know the families there. So there's that happens. I know clearly of instances where that's happened. But look at the Beis Shmuel makes one clarification. You remember I told you the Shulchan Aruch that limiting this whole bedika, which we'll see in a minute, the Shulchan Aruch get to the bedikas of checking these eight women or maybe even 12 women, are they mamzerim, are they chalalim, are they not? But it's limited to, as the Shulchan Aruch says, I have highlighted on the screen, only sheya'idu shnayim, when there are two witnesses who testified, that there is such a problem in this family that you're going out with Lucy's family. Says the Beis Shmuel, you should know, that's the Rambam's opinion. Aval Rashi Pirish, I think I glossed over it earlier, Rashi Pirish, Shekaru Shnayim Shemetz Psul, V'lo Shemi Edom Edus Gomer. Rashi, if we run up to Rashi, I'm not going to go there, but Rashi just said there was a rumor that was spread, an error, but not that there was actual testimony about, you know, a specific testimony. That relates to what Beir said. So we have Machlokas, whether we're talking about a general error or something more specific and more dangerous, more concerning of an actual Eidus testifying that this family has, we know that this family has Mamzerin. Okay, either way, there's an error, and therefore that a family has amongst them, Mamzerim, or Chalalim, or Avadim, so we're going to have to inquire about the various grandmothers to do our research. Now, can I ask you a question? I want to understand what one word. What does it mean that there is an accusation against this family that there is Avadim in the family? Let's say there was an Eved in the family. Let's think for a second. If an Eved marries a girl, let's say there's an Eved in the family. Yeah, let's say there was an Eved in the family. Somebody married an Eved. One of the grandmothers married an Eved. But if an Eved marries a Bas Yisrael, the child of that union is what? Anyone remember?
Yisrael Kasher.
A Yisrael Kasher, that's correct. So what's wrong if there are Avadim in the family? You could have Avadim in the family. There's nothing wrong with Avadim in the family. You could have Avadim in the family. They got married, and now the child is Lucy, even if her father's an Eved, for heaven's sake. I could marry Lucy. She's not an Avada, a Shivcha. If her father's an Eved, her mother's a nice Jewish girl, so Lucy's a nice Jewish girl. Nice Beis Yaakov girl. So the Chalkis Machokik raises this point. He explains that when we say that there's... when we have this accusation that this family has Avdus, he says, let's be medayik in the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Lokos of Eved. We're not aware that there's an Eved in the family. The Eved Shnisarev B'Yisrael Havlat Kosher. That's why the Shulchan Aruch said the word that there's avdus in the family, meaning the irur was that there's a shifcha in the family, a female eved, a shifcha in the family. That's what we mean by avdus in the family. Oh, if there's a shifcha in the family, a female eved in the family, then what's the halach of a ben Yisrael who marries a shifcha? What's the child of that union considered? He's an eved. Or the daughter is an Eved. So that's what we're worried about. We're not worried that there's a male Eved in the family. We're worried that maybe one of the women in the family, one of the women is a Shivcha. If one of the women was a Shivcha, then maybe Lucy is, since her mother or her grandmother is a Shivcha, then maybe Lucy is a Shivcha. That's the concern. Okay, great. We finished the first half of this section. Now,
well, what's an afkamina if he's an
Eved? In other words, if the mother was... There's an Issa d'oraisa for you to marry a Shivcha. A Ben Chorin is not allowed to marry a Shivcha. It's Issa d'oraisa. So if the girl, if Lucy, who I'm going out with, is halachically a Shivcha, it's Issa d'oraisa for me to marry her. That's the problem. Okay. So I have a great idea. I know some of you, I've gotten calls from your perspective, Michutan, from some of you who are on this call of your children, etc. I have another nice thing to say about you, besides the fact that you come to my Sunday morning shir, besides the fact that you're an upstanding member of the community, that you're intelligent, that you're wonderful people, you're B'nai Torah. I could also say, hey, and they're not Avadim. That's another nice thing I could say about the families who call me. You know, it's not. I guess it's a good thing. When I have nothing nice to say about somebody, I could say, you know what? As far as I know, the family is not a family of Avadim. There are no Mamzerim here. Your mom is dealing with a great family. Go for it. You know, no Mamzerim, no Avadim. Hey, you know, what do you have to lose? So hopefully I could say a little bit. Well, for most of you, I think I could say a lot better than that. But at least that's just one more thing in the rabbi's tool bag to be able to give a good reference. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is going to take a little bit of a switch and going to say, hold on one second. The Shulchan Aruch is going to now present a distinction. This family that we're talking about, this family that we're talking about, what kind of family is it? When we have this Irur or this Eidos, this accusation about this family, that I'm, again, Lucy's family, what is Lucy's family? Is Lucy's family a family of Kohanim? Or is Lucy's family a family of Levim and Yisraelim? And the Shulchan Aruch will present the following distinction. Imish Paches Kohanim hi. If Lucy's family is, her last name is Kohn, Lo Yisam Mena Isha, Ad Shivdok Ole Adalri Mahos, Shein Shmona. I can't marry this girl if that has an irun about her family until I check four of the grand or great grandmothers and their mothers, which is a total of eight, and it lists off who they are, which we mentioned who those specifics are. Vim haisa mishpacha zu shekara la ira levim yisraelim. Let's say Lucy's family is Lucy Israel, or Lucy Levi. That's the name. That's her last name. She's not from a Cohen family. Not a Katz, but a Lucy. I don't know, just a Friedman or something like that. Then you're gonna have to check one, because remember I told you that Kohanim's families are always a little bit more meyuchasdik. They're always kept a little bit more intact, as opposed to Levim and Yisraelim's families, who are a little bit looser about their yichus in general. So then, if I'm going to marry a Lucy, if I want to go out with Lucy and her family as a Levi or Yisrael family, I'm going to have to do the check the eight grandmothers plus a mother of each one of those grandmothers. So if there's four grandmothers or grandmothers I have to check, and each one I have to check their mother and their grandmother, their mother and their grandmother, their mother and their grandmother. So there are these four women who I'm going to check, these four grandmothers and great-grandmothers, plus their mother and grandmother, plus her mother and grandmother, plus her mother and grandmother, plus her mother and grandmother. How many is that? What's four times, if there are four different women who I have to check, four ancestors who I have to check, and each one is not just that ancestor, but that ancestor's mother and grandmother, that means there are three family members who I have to check for each one of those four ancestors. That's four times three. What's four times three, Rabbi Osai? We have some accountants here. We have some actuaries here. We have some lawyers and doctors here. I think we can figure out what four times three. Okay, fine. You're all muted. Okay, four times three is 12, right? Look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. V'yam ha'isa mishpacha zu. Shekar aler ir levim v'yisrael. Mosef livdok aleim od achas. You add one generation. So now it's three generations for each of the four people. V'nimtza bodek. How many? Oops. Asara imahos. I thought it should be 12. It says asara. Okay, so if we're gonna see, we're not gonna get bogged down by the number, you know. He the Chalkos Mechokik already points out that that's not really supposed to be. It's probably like a mistake. V'nimtza bodek asara imahos tzarchiyah d'begmara mashu d'bodek l'fachos yud beis imahos. So yesh kan dalri imahos. There are four ancestors of Lucy who you have to check, either grandmothers or great grandmothers, and each one of them you have to check that woman plus her mother and her grandmother. So that's three generations for this ancestor, and this ancestor, and this ancestor, and this ancestor. So that's three times four. If you do that, that's really 12. So I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch said 10. Okay, maybe Rabbi Yosef Kar wasn't so good at math, but we'll leave that for now. That was a joke. Fine. Now, this is the main part of what we're going to be doing today. What we're going to be doing today, right now, is clarifying when do you have to check and what situation you have to check. We know that there was an error, but who are you? This guy, who's the guy who's going out with Lucy? Who's the guy who's going out with Lucy? Is the guy who's going out with Lucy a Kohen? Is that what we're worried about? Or is the guy who's going out with Lucy a Yisrael? And that's what we're worried about. So we're going to present two Mahalchim, and the Chalkos Mechokik will walk us through two Mahalchim. I presented one side of the coin, and we'll see one side of the coin and then another side of the coin. Until now, the way we've learned is like the Rambam. Bear with me and you'll see. Don't worry about the switch of the other opinion until we get to the other opinion. Then it will become, then you'll see what the other opinion is. So don't worry about the fact that there will be a second opinion. Right now, we're just going to say, until now, we've been learning like the Rambam has been learning. Dehadik amar lo yisam imena. Asher yeah, Mishia Hanose. Whoever the guy is, we're focusing on who's Lucy and who's Lucy's family. Whoever the boy is a Kohen, the boy is a Levi, the boy is a Yisrael. The question is not who is the boy. The question is, you have a boy. You have a guy in yeshiva, a guy who's not in yeshiva. He's a Jewish boy. He's going out with Lucy. And we have to determine whether Lucy's family is what kind of family Lucy comes from. If you remember what the one of the things, one second. That we were worried about when the Shulchan Aruch told us about things to be worried about. Earlier, the Shulchan Aruch, I'm highlighting it for the screen for you. Earlier, the Shulchan Aruch told us that we're worried about maybe there's a mamzer, maybe there's Eved in the family, but it also mixed Arayin, it also mixed in the possibility that maybe there's a cholol in the family. Now, wait a second. Mamzer is a problem for all Jewish boys. If Lucy's a mamzer. If Lucy's a shivcha or from the family of shivchas, that's a problem for all Jewish boys. But cholol, if there's a cholol in the family, that might only be problematic if Lucy's a from the cholol family. That might only be problematic I'm not a kohen. I could go out with a girl who has cholol in her family. Maybe, you know, my good friend Yankel Cohn, Yankel Katz, can't go out with this girl because, you know, she's a cholola. That could be problematic. For me, it's fine. So says the chalkas b'chalkas as follows. What the Shulchan Aruch wants to tell us is the following. Im ha'irhur hu al ha'chalol, if the question of this family, the accusation that this family, Lucy's family, was accused that there's a chalol in the family who's not kosher for kuna, us ein tzarech levdok el kohen hanose. Look, if I'm going out with a girl named Lucy, and there's an accusation, or even two Eidim walked into Beis Din and said, Mr. Beis Din at Lawrence and Far Rockaway Beis Din, and you should know that Uri Orlin's going with this girl, Lucy. Lucy's family have halalim. They'll look at him and say, thank you very much, but that's irrelevant because Uri Orlin's not a Kohen, and he could go out with a girl, with a Lucy's family if there are halalim there. Oh, however, v'im ha'irur al psulei kahal, if the accusation or the witnesses were that this family, Lucy's family, have a mamzerim in it, then Af Yisrael tzarech levdok. Then even Uri Orlin, who's a regular Yisrael, will also have to do a bedika and check into the grandmothers to make sure that there are no mamzerim and are no shivchos involved. Yeah, Mr. Bergman, do you have a question? No, okay, good. I just saw your hand movement. I didn't know if that meant a question. Fine. However, says the Chalkas Mechokek, when you check Lucy's family, there's going to be a difference in terms of who is Lucy's family. Mikomakom yesh chiluk, when you're going to be checking, not about the Kohen, not because I'm a Kohen. Let's say I'm really Israel. I don't care about an accusation of a chalal or not a chalal. All I'm worried about is mamzerim and avadim. Are there mamzerim in the family? Are there shvachos in the family? That's all I'm worried about. So then, if the Lucy's family is a Kohen family, then since the Kohen families are a little more careful with their yichus, with their ancestry, then I only have to check four ancestors, those four ancestors, and their mother. That will be eight women I'll have to check. Look at the first bullet point, please. Who are a little better with their yichus. As ein sarach bedika rak chesi mahos. Afilim ha'irur yotzah shenis arva b'hem psulei kal. Even if the accusation was nothing to do with kahuna per se, the accusation was to do with general Jewish accusations of mamzerus, of shifchus, of avdus. But since it's a better, it's more miyuchas dika family, it's a Kohen family, they take care of yichus better, and we only have to check four ancestors and the mother, which would be a total of eight women I'll have to check. However, second bullet point, please. However, if the error is on Lucy's family is just a regular, you know, Orthodox family or Jewish family, not of Kohanim, then I'm a little more concerned. They're less, you know, it's not a Kohen family. They're not as careful with Yichus. Then we're going to ask for one more generation of checking. So I have to check these four women, plus these four women's mother and these four women's grandmother. So it'll be a total of 12. That's how we explained the sugya and the Shulchan Aruch until now. However, you should know. What we're going to do now is we're going to present another mahalach in the Rishonim, how to learn this Mishnah, how to learn the checking, and how to learn what we're checking for. So now we're going to start a new way It's just going to take us three lines to do, so it's not like we're not going to go on a gigantic tangent now. There's another mahalach, how to learn these checkings and what you're checking for. Until now, we've been saying that, you remember we said sometimes you check just 8 women, sometimes you check 12 women? Until now, we said that if you marry a Kohen, if Lucy's family is a Kohen family, then you only check 8 women. But if Lucy's family is the Levi Yisrael's family that has not as strong yichus, you have to check 12 women. The new mahalach is going to be a little bit different. The new mahalach that we're going to say now is, if you're going to be checking because of a Kohen problem, you're checking because there was an accusation about a kahuna issue, then you only need to check 8 women. But if the checking that, if the accusation was a mamzerus or a shifchus, an avdus issue, then you have to check 12 women. I'll say that again. Previously, we were saying that if you're a Kohen, you check your Kohen issues. If you're a mamzer or a shifcha issues, you check those issues. Now, how do you check? How many women of the family that you have, Lucy's family, do you have to check? Well, if it's a Kohen's family, this is what we said previously. If it's a Kohen's family, you'll check 8 of the women. If it's a Levi Yisrael's family, you'll check 12 of the women in Lucy's family, 12 of her ancestors. Now we're presenting a brand new shita. The new shita says, no. This difference between 8 and 12 is not talking about Lucy's family. It's talking about what are you checking for. If you're checking for a chashash relating to kahuna, then you only need to check 8 women. If you're checking for a concern that applies even to Levim and Yisraelim, like Mamzerus, like a concern for Shifchus, Avdus, then you'll need to check 12 ancestors, 12 of Lucy's ancestors. Let's see it inside. Aval yesh kan de acheres. One second. Aval yesh kan de acheres. De resha, that says you have to check only 8 of Lucy's ancestors, Maya bekohen habodik machmas irud psule kahuna. If you're obviously only one who cares about being a chalal is a kohen. So if a kohen, if a boy's a kohen, he's going out with Lucy. So if he's worried, he heard that there was an accusation or witnesses that there are chalalim in Lucy's family, then dailo bebedikas ches nashim. He only has to check 8 ancestors. Aval, but somebody who's checking because there are accusations of the fundamental Jewish kashrus of Lucy's family, that there might have been mamzerim, there might have been avadim and shvachos in her family, aval habodik machmas psule kol, that's when you need another generation of 12, those extra 4 bedikos. Habodik machmas psule kol, tzorech lozi bedika, if there was a problem of psule kol. Fine. So those are just 2 opinions. Again, we had the Mishnah distinguished between sometimes you check 8 families, 8 members, 8 ancestors, sometimes you check 12 ancestors, and there's a machlokas rishon where that means whether the Lucy's family are kohanim and you only have to check 8 of her ancestors, or Lucy's family are Levim v'Yisrael, and then you have to check 12 of her family members. The new mahalach that we're presenting now is that we don't care whether Lucy's family are kohanim or Levim v'Yisraelim. What we care is what is the concern that you're checking for. What is the problem that you're investigating? If you're investigating a Kohen problem, then you need to check 8 ancestors. If you're checking a problem that's ubiquitous even to Yisraelim, then you have to check 12 ancestors. That's the end of that machlokas, and now we have everything we need to know about checking into the yichus of families. Okay. Now, let's go back all the way back to the Gemara and introduce a new point. We finished any questions about what we did so far? We did the Gemara, we did the Shulchan Aruch. Now, we're going to do a new piece of Gemara. Where is this Gemara? Yeah, one line. Do you realize that everything that we've been saying until now is all accusations against Lucy? What does Uri Orlian have against Lucy? What does Uri Orlian have about women? Why don't we talk about the opposite? Why don't we talk about that you have Rivkele is going out with a guy named Josh, and Josh's family has the accusations against his family. Why am I picking on the women? Why am I picking on these poor girls? The poor girls have a hard enough time getting Shidduchim anyway. Now we're going to say you also have to check, you have to check the girls' ancestors. Why don't we have this problem with boys? Why do boys always get the better half of the deal? Let's say you have a boy named Josh, and there's an accusation against Josh's family. Josh's family has mamzerim in it. Josh's family has halalim in it. Josh's family have, well, I don't think we're worried about halalim in Josh's family, because let's say you have this girl, Rifki, and Rifki is going out with Josh, and she hears that Josh's family is really messed up. But even if Josh's family have halalim, so that doesn't relate to, you know, Rifki doesn't care. She doesn't, she's allowed to marry a family that has messed up kahuna situation because she's Rifki. She's a girl. A girl could marry, doesn't have any Kohen limitations. So even if Rifki's last name is Kohn, even if Rifki's father's a Kohen, Rifki's friends all marry Kohanim, but Rifki doesn't have to marry a Kohen, a Kasha Kohen. So even if the chassan or the boy she's going out with, the fiance, this guy Josh, even if he's messed up with the halalim, okay, so we don't have to worry about halalim. But wait a second. Why doesn't Rifki have to be concerned that Josh's family has mamzerim in it? Why doesn't Rifki have to be concerned that Josh's family has avadim in it? Maybe this guy Josh is really an avid. How come until now we've been talking about Lucy's family's messed up? Lucy's family's messed up. Yeah, Beresh, what do you want to say?
Well, we answered that before. When men fight, you
try down. Oh, but that was talking about the ancestors. If there would have been a problem with one of the ancestors, then the fighting through the generations would have opened up a coal. Thank you for raising that, because I wanted to address that. The fighting through the generations would have shown that one of those ancestors was puzzle, was not puzzle. But here we have a 20-year-old girl, a 20-year-old boy, a 22-year-old boy. So I don't know if we'd have enough time in the short 20 years of his family. I don't know if there'd be fights going out about this little boy. You raised that there are fights about that, that there are accusations about, the accusations about men are about Yichus, that we would have heard about it. That's talking about the ancestry. But if I'm going out with a boy, a Jewish boy, Rifki, your granddaughter is going out with a nice Jewish boy. Maybe there are mamzerim. Maybe this, if you heard that this boy's family has mamzerim, you don't have to check. If you heard that this boy's family have some avadim in it, you don't have to check. Maybe this guy, your granddaughter's getting engaged soon, and then you hear somebody says, yeah, I think he has mamzerim in his family. You're not going to do a bedika. How come our Shulchan Aruch, how come the Mishnah didn't mention anything about this? This is the Gemara's question. Let a Jewish girl do bedikas in his family. Why does it have to be so hard for the girls? Let the boy have some problems also. If the boy has problems in his family, let the Jewish girls have to do bedikas from his family. Maybe Josh's family is messed up. Maybe Josh's family have mamzerim in it. Maybe Josh's family has avadim in it. Says, look at this line, because it's going to be very puzzling. Says the Gemara, this is the Gemara, right? This is going back to the Gemara. Lo hus haruk sheros linasei lipsulim. A Jewish girl, a kosher Jewish girl, has no problem marrying, is allowed to marry a pasul boy. Meaning a Jewish boy is not allowed to marry a pasul girl, but a Jewish girl is allowed to marry a pasul boy. Really? Really? Let's see if we could do this, Rashi. Now, that makes sense when we're dealing with the issue of kahuna, right? When we're dealing with an issue of kahuna, then during kahuna, I understand that a Jewish girl doesn't have to marry a kosher kohen. But if we're dealing with issues of mamzerus, then, yeah, Jewish girl, this girl, Rifki, can marry a mamzer. If Josh is a mamzer, Rifki can't marry Josh the mamzer. If Josh is an eved, Rifki can't marry Josh the eved either. So why is the Gemara saying, oh, no problem, Rivka can marry whoever she wants. We don't care who Rivka marries. Well, why should that be so? Look at Rashi. Rashi limits it at first to Kohanim. Look what he says. Lohus or ksheros kahanos, linase lipsulin kagon halali geri vecheruri. A Kohen girl, let's say, a Kohen girl, you know, a Rifki, her last name is Kohen. Rifki Kohen, good. So she has no problem to marry a pasul, like a ger, or a chalal, or a eved who is freed. All these people are now good Jewish people. Remember, they might not be okay for Kohanim. So I understand, for Kohanim, if a guy is pasul for Kahuna, no problem. A Jewish girl, your daughter, your granddaughter, could definitely marry a guy who was once, you know, who is pasul for kahuna. There's no problem. But what about the things like, what about the things about mamzerus? Why aren't we worried about mamzerus? Let's see if we could do the next two lines. Let's see. V'kevan delo hikpida Torah aleim liyuchsin. Since the Torah doesn't care about girls as far as if they marry, that they could, that whether or not they marry a kosher kohen or not a kosher kohen. Since the Torah is not worried about that, Rabbanim nami lo avid bahu maila litzuchinu b'dikur. Rabbanim also didn't require them to check out the other things. Vafilu machmas mamzerus. And they also don't have to check things like mamzerus, ushtukus, and if the boys are shtuki, only if elaki ischezaki surabe, unless you know that this guy is taka mamzer, avalechshasha umivdak, but just to be concerned, lo atzuchena, we don't have to be worried about. What is Rashi saying? Rashi is saying something wild. Since for a girl, we're not worried about the kohen aspect, she can marry any kohen. So since Torah is not worried about Kohanim, we should be worried that maybe there's Mamzerim here. We should be worried that maybe there are Shtukis here, that he's somebody who you're not allowed to marry. No. Unless you know for certain that this boy is a problem, you don't have to be worried about it. I don't understand. Why are we worried about, when I was going out with Lucy, you made me do all these bedikas? Oh, that's because the Torah cares about Mayichas. That I can't marry a halala. So I can't marry somebody who has mamzerus either. But Rashi's saying that since for girls, we don't care about the yichus when it comes to kohanim, so we also don't have to be worried about mamzerus. Let's see why this is. Let's let the Shulchan Aruch will explain. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch go all the way down to explain. Before I do you remember when we started today's shiur, I said that we're talking about a specific case when there was an accusation against the family. And you remember we said, did we talk about what kind of accusations there were? Well, there was either an accusation or there were witnesses. So that's going to become an interesting point. If there was just an accusation, we don't really know, there are no real witnesses. So then I can understand, if you don't really know that there's anything wrong with this boy's family, there's just a general accusation, there's a call. So we're not going to be worried about it. Since we're not worried for kahuna purposes, we're not going to be worried about the other purposes, because we don't really know for sure. But, wait a second. If you assume that there's a real edus here, if we assume that there were really two edus walked into Beis and said, this boy's family has mamzerim. We know there are mamzerim in this boy's family. We know that this boy's family has avadim in it. Why don't we tell this boy Josh has mamzerim? We know there are edim about it. Why don't we tell Rivki to do the bedikas? Why not? The Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Gemara says, aval isha b'habali nasi enat zricha livdok. She doesn't have to check the boy. Shlos huzharuk sherus linasi lepsulim, because kosher girls don't have to be concerned about checking for psulim. Asks the Beis Shmuel, wait a second. But if there was a real, I understand if it was just an accusation, that's one thing. But if there was a real testimony, two of them walked into the basin and said, Josh's family has mamzerim. So how in the world could Rivki go out with this girl? How could the shidduch continue? The Rambam, according to the Rambam, the Ika Edus Gomer, who said, that we mentioned this Rambam all the way at the beginning of the year today, that there was a real, genuine, bona fide Edus that said that Josh's family has mamzerim in it, has avadim in it. Kasha, lama ein tzarach bedika. What do you mean? Women are equally obligated to marry kosher people, just like men. V'halo, himus heres shalotisa mamzer. The kaimalon, we have a general rule. Any isser in the Torah applies equally to men as to women. The kaimalon, kosher humuzhar, higam kemus heres. If a man is not allowed to marry a mamzeres, guess what? A girl is not allowed to marry a mamzer. So how come if you have two edim walk into Bezin and says, Rivki, you're going out with this guy named Josh. I and my friend are hereby testifying that Josh's family have mamzerim. Comes to Shulchan Aruch and says, you don't worry, don't worry about it. You don't have to do any checking. Don't worry. Why not? Why not? Look at this. Look at this brilliant answer of the Beis Shmuel. we know that Mamzer is unique in Kol HaTorah Kula. How is Mamzer unique in Kol HaTorah Kula? Mamzer is unique in Kol HaTorah Kula because Safek Mamzer LaHakel. So even if you have, says the Beis Shmuel, even if you have two Edom walk into base and say, Rivki, the guy you're going out with, your fiance, your chassan, your boyfriend, whatever it is, has a family of Mamzerim, so long as they didn't identify who the person was, they just know that there's a Mamzerim in the family, they don't know who, any individual in the family is a suffix on him. Is it this guy? Is it this guy? Is it this guy? Is it this guy? Because all the Edom said is, we know definitively, when we have Edus Kumura, that there are Mamzerim in the family. There's a Mamzer in the family. But so long as they haven't pointed to who it is, right? Obviously, they didn't point to who it is, because otherwise you wouldn't be doing Bedikas. If you're doing Bedikas, that means you're checking. Is it this one? Is it this one? Is it this one? Is it this one? Obviously, you don't have a name to work with. So since they didn't specify a person, they just said this family has Mamzerim in it, then every individual in that family will be a Safek Mamzer. And if there's a Safek Mamzer, we could be more lenient and not require a Bedika. That's the suggestion of the Beis Shmuel. Look what he says. Efshir Mishum Kol Echami Mishpacha who's Safek Mamzer. And therefore Min HaTorah Kasher. Lachain. Once Midoraisa, we're talking about that there's no problem Mamzer on a Doraisa level because Safek Mamzer L'Hakel. So you're worried about, oh, there's still a Chshash Mamzeris. So by a girl who's going out with boys, since the girls anyway don't have to worry about the halalim concern, lachain he, a woman, a girl, Jewish girl, Rivki, de'enu musheres al halal, who's not usher to marry halalim, so ve'en tzricha b'dika mishum halal, mishum hachi lo hechmiru chazal de tzricha b'dika because of the chshash mamzer. Since the chshash... What?
In other words, we don't apply this going the other way, even though it's the same halacha, we still require the boy to...
Correct. The starting point is one starting point.
She doesn't have to check that.
That when it comes to Kohanim, we're more stringent about, that the boy, the Jewish boy, Uri Orlean, going out with Lucy, since if I'd be a Kohen, I couldn't marry a Halala, and therefore they're going to impose the halachas of Bedikas on Uri Orlean, on me, to check that she's kosher l'kohuna. Then we'll check everything else, all the other things also.
But if you're not a Kohen...
If I'm not a Kohen, we still have that same parameter, because I'm a boy. However, for a girl where the whole beginning of checking for halalim doesn't even begin to apply, because halalim never applies to a woman, so that first point, that first stop of possibly checking for halalim doesn't even begin. So therefore, Chachamim won't impose their additional bedikos, their additional requirement of bedikos, to ensure that there are no mamzerim in the family, because anyway, mamzerim are only a suffix, and therefore suffix drabban and lekula. Therefore, mamzerim we're always suffix mamzerim. We are not concerned with.
Seems non sequitur.
You don't like it. Guess who else? You're good.
I mean, one right. And what is one thing? Okay, I think there's more coming on this.
Yeah, because you know who holds like you, the Balamar and the Milchamos, and say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're in good company.
One second. So how do they explain? But they still have to explain why it is that we don't impose this impertinent.
So they argue, and they say, look at the last two words, Yesh Lahachmir. You do have to. They argue on this line of the Shulchan Aruch. They say no, you do have to check. If we're worried about, I understand. You don't have to be worried about. You don't have to be worried about halalim. You don't have to worry about kahuna. And maybe if there's just a rumor, you don't have to worry about rumors. But if there's real edus, of course you have to be concerned. V'yesh l'hachmir, you do have to be machmir. Even if there is a... You do have to be machmir in the case of chshash mamzerim. If you have an edus that there are mamzerim, you will 100% have to be machmir and do a bedika in case there are mamzerim. Okay, so that's the end.
Sorry.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Hanisch.
A well-known case over 40 years ago in a yeshiva where it turned out that there was a Baal Tshuva who was a very good Talmud.
Yeah.
They did a bedika and they found out that his parents' family had been in this country for a very long time and there was a gerus that wasn't a kosher gerus. So he subsequently, it was determined that this young man who was in going through shidduchim was in fact not kosher. He himself
wasn't even Jewish.
It was a shy. So practically speaking, today in the world, unfortunately, even with a lot of Balei Tshuva today, if you look at yichus, sometimes these other issues come up as well.
Yes, yes. I've actually had I have some of my my students. I had two talmidos who had questionable geiruses when they were very young. They were when they were very, very, very young, like 3 years old. They had a questionable geirus in a different country where there was a question with a questionable based in, and they were my talmidos, and I encouraged them. I encourage them to work out this geirus issue well before you're in shidduchim. Let's say they were my students when they were like 18 years old, 19. They weren't going to be going out, you know, a little bit of a different community, a little older. We said to them, take care of this geirus question now, because you don't want to be going out with a guy when you're 22, and the guy is going to actually at some point will find out, oh, wait a second, what's the, maybe. And all of a sudden they'll find out you're not Jewish, and then it's going to be very traumatic. So do it now while you're still, you know, she came to, I think she was at Stern College, and do it now. What happened was actually an interesting story. We'll finish with this. She applied, one of my talmidos applied to go to a certain seminary. She was in Stern College for a year or two, and then she went to apply for a certain seminary in Israel. And Baruch Hashem, it was a seminary that was meant for like Balos Tshuva, and the seminaries, I guess, at least this one, I think it was Neve, had the presence of mind to realize that the population with whom they deal often have questionable. I guess they asked on the questionnaire, "Do you have any? Are there any gerim in the family?" And the answer was yes, and they rejected her. They rejected her, which was the biggest bracha in the world. They didn't reject her. They just said we could only accept Jews into our program. Maybe it wasn't whatever institute, whatever somebody may have been. We could, and therefore she just went through the process. Let's say she applied in December. So over the course of the next few months, she wanted to go to seminary. She was a girl who was living from. She was traumatically injured because of her self-identity that was questioned. But it was the greatest bracha that had happened when she was 18 or 19 years old. And she got through it. She went through the geirus, and it was a smooth process. It was a quick process because it wasn't like she was coming from, you know, South Dakota and just discovered, you know, Judaism on the internet. She had been she grew up her whole life going to Jewish schools in this out of this other country, and going to, you know, living a Jewish life and keeping kashrus her whole life and keeping Shabbos her whole life. So it was part of her. It shook her a little bit that, wow, maybe I'm not really Jewish. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. It was a suffix. So she did a gira l'chumra. It was the best thing in the world that she took care of her when she was 18 or 19 years old. So when she was going out when she was 22, it was smooth sailing. There were no questions because she had a verified gear from a respected Bezdin, and it was no problem. I'll tell you one joke. I was involved with this geirus, and one of my very student, I liked this talmida, a very special young lady, and I wanted to set her up with one of the boys. So I set her up with a young man. Guess who I set her up with? I set her up with a Kohen. Nobody knew that she was a Gioris except for me and like maybe one or two other and the Dayanim. Nobody else knew that she was a Gioris. Just me. I was a Rebbe. And I set her up with a Gier. I set her up with a Kohen. It was my total mistake. So the guy was a very big man. She took her out and he pointed out on his first date. He didn't know he didn't even know anything about the girl. She's just a regular girl from Stern College. So he said to her, he was very proud of his kahunas on the first date. He said something about, you know, I'm a Kohen. And she's like, oh, I'm a Gioris. So he was a big mensch. He treated her very properly, politely, you know, paid for the dinner still. And then afterwards they...
On occasion in my law firm life, I encouraged, came up a couple of times, colleagues of mine were getting a divorce. I said, make sure you get an Orthodox divorce, even though you're not. Because if you don't, and later you remarry, your children may, who knows, they may become Balei Tshuva, and you will have a big problem if you don't get a proper divorce. And I don't know what they did, but I tried to warn them.
100%.
they have any contact with the Orthodox Jewish community and through their children, they're going to have a very